What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA Home Loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
An education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Kid Felcher, 1,000 welcomes to the Village Oak Tree for July 14, 2024. I'm your host, Terrence O'Donnell. I thank you for joining me again as events unfold around us everywhere. This is another Sunday op-ed because things seem to be dramatically changing every day now. I will also be reading another chapter of Michael Campy's The Priest, Part 4, to bring home just how serious things are getting here in the United States. So let's talk about what's happened. As everybody knows, in Pennsylvania, Butler, Pennsylvania, last night at a Trump rally, shots were fired that resounded around the world, figuratively speaking. As everyone now knows, Trump was shot at by a 20-year-old man at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, and he was killed as soon as he was spotted on the rooftop, but not before he took the shots. So, according to all reports, Trump was nicked at the top of his right ear and, despite bleeding, managed to defy his Secret Service detail by giving a fist pump to the media and mouthing, "fight, fight," supposedly. Now, whether he was nicked by a bullet or by broken glass from his shield on the podium remains to be seen. Given his reputation for lying, it'll be a bullet wound. The real tragedy of this event is the death and wounding of audience members because the shooter wasn't using a sophisticated rifle or ammunition. Some are speculating that it was only an AR-style rifle using .223 ammunition, which is just a little larger than the .22 caliber bullets. Whether it was a .22 or .223, the recoil from this rifle would have been minimal. Only an amateur would use such a weapon, or a very disgruntled young man who has minimal weapons experience. I read one article after it happened last night from an independent journalist showing a satellite map of the area, and it showed the shooter was located, according to the map, 450 feet away on a rooftop when he opened fire. So the math here, for anybody who's familiar with shooting and stuff, equates to about 150 meters. Which is close to the maximum range of a .22 caliber rifle using long-range Magnum .22 bullets with any decent amount of accuracy. An easy shot for anyone with real experience. I say that only because I've shot rifles a lot longer distance than that. If this man was shooting a .223 caliber AR-style rifle, his range would have been longer, maybe 250. But it matters little if you don't have any experience shooting accurately under pressure, such as when you realize that you were stupid enough to be seen and needed to get your shots off in a real hurry before your position is severely compromised. You know, like Secret Service agents getting a beat on you? I watched another video from a white Christian nationalist American Protestant pastor, or that's what he calls himself anyway. He pulled a quick interview together last night with whom I surmise is as a frequent guest on his podcast, a former Army Ranger, sniper, now a security consultant in Arizona. Normally, I wouldn't have watched this at all, as I have no use for white Christian nationalists or any Christian nationalists. But I wanted to see if this guest was credible. He was, to a point. I have no doubt that while he was on active duty, he did attend the training outline when he introduced himself in the podcast. I am very familiar with his Ranger Battalion and SF unit that he mentioned, having been stationed at Fort Bragg myself 20 years ago. The young man joined the Army a couple of years after I retired, according to what he says. What I was more interested in was his analysis of the videos taken during the actual shooting last night. He said he watched and listened to a couple and could hear what sounded like eight up to 8 suppressed shots fired before the Secret Service took out the shooter from an elevated platform above the rooftop where the shooter was. According to this podcast guest, that the Secret Service snipers were located high up behind the podium where Donald Trump was at. I took special notice when he said suppressed shots. That suggests more than an amateur shooter. Very few people would think to or have access to or know how to make a rifle suppressor. If you try to buy one, they're illegal for the most part and will reduce the range of your bullets. If you make a homemade one, they'll throw off your shots as a rule. Suppressors are generally used for close-in support in urban environments, not on long-range targets. Not that this distance of 150 meters is considered long-range by any means. Just give you an example. A standard Army pop-up firing range at any military base has targets a lot farther out than we had to shoot at accurately using M16A2s without scopes. The more likely scenario is that the shooter had a .223 caliber AR-style rifle that's popular and easy to manage and easy to get. The fact that he was either stupid and inexperienced, most likely, or suicidal because he didn't make a lot of effort to hide where he was going and with what, in relative plain view of the public attending the rally, says a lot right there. The suppression sounds heard on the videos were most likely due to the fact that the shooter was on a one-story roof about 150 meters away from the majority of the crowd, and the probable low-caliber rifle, as compared to, say, a 5.56 millimeter or larger caliber, he was using would not have given off a loud report like a larger rifle would have. If anyone has ever shot different rifles before, you know what I'm talking about. There's a very distinct sound difference when firing a .22 rifle versus a 5.56 millimeter or a 203 caliber or 7.62 millimeter and so on, or even less, especially like if you were shooting a 50 caliber. I've shot lots of rifles through the years, M14s that shoot 7.62 millimeter NATO rounds, M16s that shoot 5.56 millimeter NATO rounds, civilian rifles anywhere from 203s to 308s. They sound a lot different than any .22s, especially when heard from a goodly distance, say the length of a football field or more. I surmise that Trump was only nicked because the shooter tried a headshot because of what the movies portray. And the shooter's other bullets went wide of the mark, killing two and wounding a couple more. If he was using some kind of a homemade suppressor, this would also be a good reason why his shots probably went wild. This only further proves that this young man was inexperienced and likely a disgruntled lone wolf. The fact that he apparently hadn't planned any escape is another fact that will likely be overlooked by mainstream media for a couple of days or so, if not forever. A professional would not have missed so badly by attempting a headshot or the use of a poor weapon. A professional would have used a high-powered, highly accurate rifle and evaded detection before making the shots. He would have implemented an escape plan and not been shot so easily by the Secret Service detail. This young man was either suicidal or clueless on what would happen once he pulled the trigger. I'm betting on the latter. In the aftermath of all of this, anyone who's been paying attention to the MAGA cultists know that they will start blaming the Democrats for an assassination attempt, which this has already started on X Twitter, and all manner of other conspiracy theories. How far will this go? Time will tell. I have a YouTube video I picked up from an independent Middle Eastern journalist based in the UK. His channel is called Jonta Reporter. I might not be pronouncing that right. Jonta K Reporter, Jonta K, yeah. So I'm going to give you the cover image of the link, just in case you want to search him out. So this is what it looks like. And the big thing is, he's saying in his report from last night that Trump was likely shot by extremists because he wants to stop funding the wars in Gaza and Ukraine. I don't know the truth of that because I haven't listened to a Trump speech since 2015. I think he's a stupid little rich boy who will do anything, and I mean anything, to gain attention. After this, I'll be paying a little more attention, though, and this is why. I don't like Joe Biden and the Democrats because of their support of the current wars in Gaza and Ukraine. I'm a former soldier and sailor. I've been an active participant in these wars of aggression since Vietnam. I first deployed to the Far East and Southeast Asia in the winter of 1974 and 75 as a sailor. It was a minor character in several wars during my career compared to all the other soldiers and Marines who gave their lives or were wounded for life over American imperialism. I deployed 8 times in my career. I participated in a lot of things that normal people should never see or do. I still have nightmares to this day, 20 years later. So here's the thing. My last deployment was to Afghanistan in support of OEF in 2002 as part of a special operations unit, an Army Reserve Civil Affairs Unit, the 489th CA Battalion. I'm classified as a Vietnam veteran. I was in Lebanon right after October 1983. I chased communists around Southern Europe in 1985. I also spent 2 years in the Gulf region during Desert Storm on 2 separate deployments back to back. I left for the Middle East right after Christmas of 1990 and didn't return to the US again until December of 1992. I retired from the Army after 23 and a half years of active duty and a few years of reserve time for a total of over 30 years. I know what war looks like firsthand, which is why I want all of this to stop. I have for a very long time. I objected to the invasion of Iraq in 2003, but I was still on active duty, so obviously I didn't object real loudly. And the subsequent atrocities committed by the U.S., sanctioned by George W. Bush, whom I think, along with his cadre, should be prosecuted for war crimes. But then, U.S. has never been prosecuted for war crimes since Vietnam. So why start now? May Lai in 1968 doesn't count. That was just a symptom of the overall sickness of the United States political system at the time, which is still there, actually worse now. Every administration since LBJ has committed or been complicit in war crimes of one sort or another since the 1960s, maybe in the 1950s. But I digress. Sorry. Let's return back to the present day and the John Takei reporter video. In this video, the report says that Trump wants to stop funding these wars overseas. I don't know how true this is regarding Trump pulling the U.S. out of supporting Israel or Ukraine. I've heard different. And so I don't know what's true or not. But if this is true, this may seriously make me rethink my support of the Democrats. I don't mean Joe Biden and company, as in, you know, his executive administration. Although I realize that for right now, they're part of the package deal of voting against Trump and the MAGA cult. I will never intentionally vote for Genocide Joe and his executive branch cadre. Up until now, I considered it just an existential vote to prevent an autocratic takeover of the U.S. government by a soft fascist movement to the hard right. No matter which choice we've been left with, neither of them are any good for the country. But the powers behind the thrones haven't left us with any other choices. So no matter which direction we turn, both paths lead to the same place, a soft fascism underneath the facade of democracy. The MAGA Republicans are just more in our face about it than the Democrats right now. I'm an independent voter, swayed by whom I think might be the best candidate from any party who would, in my opinion, do the best job for the country and its people. I have voted this way for decades when I wasn't deployed. So far in the last 50 years or so, the U.S. voters have failed to vote in a president and a Congress that actually works for the people once they take office. Not since John F. Kennedy have we had a president that had the best interests of the country in mind when they made decisions that put people in harm's way. Look at what happened to him. The world will likely never know the real truth about who shot him in Dallas in 1963. Now we have to examine the truth a lot more. I, like everyone else around the world, will need to take a closer look at what just happened and see how the country is going to react in the short term. Then watch the long-term effects leading up to November. I want to know if Trump will stop funding these foreign wars, or is that more bullshit? I want to hear him tell the people about what I've been hearing rumors about, that he does not support this lunatic fringe group and their Project 2025. I've been hearing rumors that he doesn't support this. But what's the truth? We survived barely his incompetence in 2020 over the COVID lockdowns. We survived his lies about bringing factories back to the U.S. We survived his stupid trade war with China. Biden actually has made this worse now. We survived his draconian border policies and open racism. If Trump gets elected, that's all coming back. Did Trump side with the white supremacists in Charlottesville, Virginia? Did he encourage his MAGA supporters to try and change the outcome of the 2020 election? Did he take bribes and violate the emoluments clause and ethics laws? Yes to all the above, plus more. Will he do it again and more? If he thinks he can get away with it, the answer is yes. We all know that he's a lying piece of shit, but so is Joe Biden. Just not as in our face about it as Trump and the MAGA Republicans. What I want to know is Trump's plan to end the Ukrainian war on day one if he's elected, as he has said. I want to see if he'll stop funding Israel, as is being reported. I want to see if he'll make deals with China and Russia to bring the economy back from the brink of collapse. Trump touts himself as the ultimate deal maker. I say, put up or shut up. The United States needs a lot of deals right now if it's to forestall an economic collapse. Although I don't condone Trump's personality and narcissism, I am willing to look aside a little bit if he can prove that he will keep his word and stop the genocide in Gaza and Ukraine, make deals with the BRICS alliances and so forth, which is a lot more than what Biden and the Israeli-owned Democrats and most Republicans will do. Last night's event has made me sit up and take notice, and not in the way you would think. I heard about Biden's tepid response, along with notable other Democrats, as one would expect. But, as an independent voter, have I been listening to the wrong content? I am a common sense person, or at least I consider myself one anyway. A little center right, and like a lot of people. But all I want is an end to these foreign wars overseas and bring that money home to be spent on care of the aging infrastructure, programs for the homeless and hungry, and so many other domestic programs for the betterment of the American citizens. We don't need 100% tariffs on Chinese EV vehicles. We need a fair trade agreement that benefits all American citizens, not just a select few. We don't need high tariffs on cheaper Chinese solar panels that only hurts the average consumer, along with so many other Chinese products. We don't need to sanction the crap out of Russia just because we want the mineral wealth and other commodities of Ukraine for ourselves and the West in general. We need to quit trying to bully the rest of the world and learn how to work with them as equals, not as colonial overlords. It's time for the United States to get off its high horse and learn to get along with this newly emerging multipolar world we find ourselves in. We can temper the cyber attacks of the Russians, Chinese, and North Koreans by learning to better protect our IT infrastructures if we put our people to work at it. Our past innovations have proven that the U.S. is up to the task if we apply ourselves. Trouble is, Americans have gotten soft and lazy. They went after the easy money in the past, and look where we are today. Our factories and best minds have left the country. We're only a hollow shell of what we once were and on the verge of economic collapse. If the U.S. is ever going to return to the world stage as an equal partner, not the top dog, the government needs a radical makeover. My question today for myself and the rest of the country is this. Are we missing a message from the politicians about where they want to take the country at the next election? You can be sure that I will be looking real hard at this very thing the rest of the summer. My vote will go to whoever I think will do the best job for the American people. Like so many other independent voters, I'm now starting to ask myself, am I being misled again? We can't afford to boycott the elections, as this will only give one party an unfair advantage. Some say the advantage will go to the fascist Republican MAGA cult. The Republicans say the advantage will go to the party of genocide and another European war. Who's right? And how do we figure it out before November? Now I want to read Michael Campy's part four as part of his serialized story about the aftermath of the collapse of the U.S. as a counterpoint to what we are reading and hearing in the news from our Western governments. The Priest, formerly known as Bob, Part 4 by Michael Campy. The Long Walk. Item number 2 on the top 10 list of the most useful things about the apocalypse is weight loss. You can forget about counting calories. You can forget water aerobics. You can forget Zumba classes. It's all right out the window. This is weight loss apocalypse style, and it's the easiest way to regain your slim, boyish, or girlish figure since forever. Here's how it works. Walk a bunch. Subsist on diet of dead rodents, whatever food you can scrounge up, and plants as long as you don't eat anything poisonous. Just watch those unsightly pounds and inches melt away. I wish I'd known it was this easy before. It took me 6 weeks to get to Jerome. I only walked at night because even though it was winter, it was still a hell of a lot. I only walked at night because even though it was winter, it was still hell of hot during the day. Staying in the mountains was a little better, heat-wise, than the flatlands, but it was a lot more difficult from the standpoint of my physical conditioning. I just never thought about walking 420 miles before the collapse. It's not something I would have chosen if I had options, but I didn't. My car had been broken for about 6 months when the collapse came, and since all my friends had deserted me or died, I was stuck without a ride. I think I would have opted for walking in any event because the roads had become a battleground. FYI, for anyone who may be thinking that it won't go all Mad Max, you were wrong. In addition to people going to the bathroom wherever they wanted, a lot of people wanted to live out their apocalypse fantasies. I imagine these were the same people who bought those stupid little cars and went racing around town like they were Vin Diesel after the Fast and Furious movies came out. Fantasies, it turned out, were just waiting to rip through the thin fabric of modern life, all ready to be turned into realities at the drop of a hat or the collapse of a civilization. I had always liked the mountains at night, because even before things fell apart, people avoided them. It was mostly because they were afraid of wild animals. They never thought that the animals would be more afraid of humans than humans were of animals. It was quiet. The sounds of violence, the smell of refuse, the look of insanity that was on almost every face these days had not made it into the mountains. I pretty much had the place to myself for now. After 2 nights of walking, I came to a town called Wrightwood. Wrightwood was a cutesy mountain town that attracted a lot of tourists in the old days, 3 months ago. But there had been a lot of drugs in the area and a lot of pseudo-mountain men hiding out in the hills. By the time I got there, the mountain men, bikers, and lowlifes in general had taken over. Peeking out from my hiding place, it looked like a huge, ugly pickup truck convention was in full swing. Even in the early morning hours, the streets were crowded. Other than the clientele, it would have been any summer day. But when you added in the overabundance of firearms on display and the obvious signs of violence, it became business as usual, apocalypse style. I decided to forgo the dubious pleasures of this town. It had a lot to do with me being tall. Ever since I was in high school, nasty little brutes had always thought it made them look tough if they picked on a tall guy. Even way back in high school, though, after I had been beaten up a few times, I began to discourage their desire to see a tall guy fall by becoming crazier and more violent than they expected. If you go medieval on a few tough guys, the word gets out and they start to leave you alone. There were a considerable number of nasty little brutes on display in Wrightwood, and I didn't need anything bad enough to try and take on a whole town. I got out of there as quickly as my size 14s could carry me. After Wrightwood, although I wouldn't describe it as smooth sailing, it wasn't horrible. My food supplies began to run low after about 3 weeks, and I had to start rationing some and looking for stores and houses where I could rustle up some grub. The problem with the out-of-the-way stores and houses was they usually had people in them. I only found one gas station convenience store that was unoccupied, and it had been gone through pretty thoroughly. Number 4 on the list of top 10 weird things about the apocalypse was that all the cigarettes, all the alcohol, all the other tobacco products were gone. I remember a guy at a liquor store during the financial collapse in 2008 who couldn't keep his store stocked. I asked him why he thought that was, and he said, "When times are good, people drink and smoke. When times are bad, people drink and smoke more." There was a good selection of non-traditional food items scattered around on the floor. Pet food figured prominently in this array. It could be worse, and pet food isn't that bad after you get past the smell. And who knows? Maybe I'd find a pet. would be nice to have a furry companion who would love me for who I am or who I became. I could feel little bits and pieces of who I used to be falling away. It was palpable, almost like I could look back and see the parts lying in the road. The broken bits of an old world that no longer had any use clattered to the pavement. It was like the psychological version of Marie Kondo come to help me clean out the closets. I thought that maybe I was becoming what the Scientologists called a clear, but since I didn't understand Scientology at all and hadn't always put it on the list of things that I hated for no apparent reason, I wasn't going to admit myself that something I hated applied to my life. I'm more partial to the idea that I'm becoming all Zen and shit. But who knows? It had only been a few weeks, so I thought I might reserve judgment about who I was becoming until later on. So that's all I have for you on this Sunday edition. As I said, I kind of wanted to just get this off my chest regarding all this business with Donald Trump last night and what's coming here in the very near future regarding all of this. We all know that it's going to get crazy over here the next couple of weeks. I mean, today's only Sunday. Wait till tomorrow, being Monday, the first business day after everything that's happened yesterday. So, you know, like anything else, I'll talk to you. You know, I've got a show coming, a regularly scheduled show coming on Wednesday. So stay tuned for that. You know, that show was recorded before yesterday. So unfortunately, we're not going to catch any of that. But tune in for that. I mean, we are talking about some current events and things like that. Obviously, today was a little more current than that, but you know, it is what it is. So again, I'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. I hope you have a nice week ahead. Sláinte.
While I still have your attention, I want to tell you about how you can support this podcast and my efforts in general. This podcast will continue to remain free to subscribe to on all the major mobile podcast apps, on my YouTube channel, Crown of Biha, and for the first 30 days on my Substack page, Crown of Biha, the Tree of Life at Substack.com. That in mind, I'm asking for donations of any amount. I decided that I would rather ask for donations instead of charging subscriptions, so everyone has an opportunity to watch or listen to this podcast everywhere in the world. All I'm asking for is help in defraying the cost to produce and distribute this podcast and maintain my website. I've set up a donation tab on the Village Oak Tree webpage at rss.com and a donation page on my website at www.crownofbiha.com. which are all linked to PayPal for your security. This way you can use any currency you wish from around the world, providing PayPal is available to you. Any amount's appreciated. Now, about my website. The easiest way to find it is to copy it from the background behind me if you're watching this video. If you're listening to an audio version, copy the website name from the podcast logo shown. Search for it and enjoy your visit. Lastly, trying to sell some copies of my book, Fugitives in the New United States, which can be found at major book retailers around the world, such as Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Lulu. You can also buy from me direct through the bookstore page on my website. Fugitives in the New United States is available in hardcover, paperback, and digital form. Free if you're a Kindle subscriber. It's written for young adults and older, so it's safe. If this were a movie, it'd be rated PG. Look for Fugitives in the New United States at your favorite book retailer and enjoy it. I sell enough, I'll find the time to write the second book in this series. So I want to thank you for your support, even if it's just a like and a subscribe on my social media accounts. Sláinte. Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you enjoyed it, and you'll return again next week for another episode of The Village Oak Tree. Please like, subscribe, and reply on the YouTube video or audio version. This helps with spreading the word about what I'm trying to do, which is to shout out to the world about all the bad things our governments are doing to us. As I say goodbye this week, I wish to leave you with this Irish blessing as you go about your day. May your hand always be stretched out in friendship and never in want. Slán go fóill.